Welcome in, Tiger fans. It's another week of play-by-play presented by our friends at The Advocate. Thrilled to be here inside the LSU Gold Studios with Harrison Valentine, our producer, the illustrious Kent Lowe. I'm Chris Blair. We got a lot to get to, and we might as well talk. It's kind of the theme. We need this as the theme song, I think. All we do is win because LSU will add its 52nd.
Yeah, we probably have to play copyright or something.
Yeah, probably. Maybe we can find a generic one.
Yeah.
But all we do is win, 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 yeah. And I'm losing count. 52
I think
national
right.
championships
yes.
now. Congratulations. Let's all put a hand together for Jay Clark, LSU Gymnastics. They head over to Texas, and they get it done, and they get it done. I mean, the drama, the excitement. I mean, we were in Missouri with baseball, and between when we were in the hotel and leaving, even in the press box, we were watching the action in the national championship, and wow, it was had everything you wanted. I mean,
it really did.
It played out like a movie.
It was intense. Just watching it on TV, I don't know what it would have been like being there, but it was absolutely intense watching on TV.
It was interesting you say that. I talked to somebody earlier this week who was actually there, and they said they got to Beam. They said the tension was so tight. He was so nervous. He said, I just looked down at the floor. He said, I just waited to hear the crowd reaction. He said, I could not watch. That's how dramatic it was.
And my man, John Roethlisberger, doing the play-by-play, he's half judging the meet as it goes along, and he's telling you every hop and every, you know, I don't know if that's a 9-9, you know, and things that I'm just like, Easy.
Well, congratulations again.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I mean, that beam by the team at the end was absolutely fabulous.
Kent, by saying it's Hollywood worthy
in the sense that
early part of the season we were talking about being the Achilles heel. We had Ashley Knapp, the legend, on a couple of weeks ago, talking about the improvement, that's her kind of forte, that the team had made. And then it comes down to securing the national title by having to perform on the beam, and the Tigers did it did it with style.
Since we had Jay and Ashley both on here, pretty much back-to-back shows, the podcast is not a jinx.
No, absolutely not. I'm sure the coaches now will be just tearing the door off the hinges to get in here, as they already do.
It was a fabulous performance. So happy for all of them, for all that staff, for everyone involved with that program. And we're going to get a chance to celebrate it Wednesday night here on campus with the parade at 6:30 and then the celebration inside the Maravich Center at 7. And I know where that championship flag will go on the other side of the American flag now, and it'll look pretty good up there.
You know, it's becoming an annual tradition here at LSU, sometimes even more than once a year. Another championship celebration, as Kent said, Wednesday, brought to you once again by our friends at Hancock Whitney. They're going to put on the parade and, of course, celebration inside the Maravich Center. And just so you know, as in recent celebrations, everything is free, so hope you'll come out. The weather cooperates, you can be part of the parade that well I think starts at the School of Music, is that right on Dalrymple, and then we'll make its way down Victory Hill and towards the Maravich Center. So come on out, enjoy, and celebrate a national championship for Jay Clark and LSU Gymnastics. Let's talk men's tennis. As we said last time, they were going to be hosting the SECs. And, Kent, I know you told me firsthand experience. Your word was it was raucous.
Yeah.
but a great time out there at the tennis complex.
Amazing crowd out there for the tennis matches. First of all, the SEC, very good in tennis. Been kind of a struggle for the men's team this year. But I tell you what, Thursday night, they defeat number 14, Texas A&M, 4-3. The place was packed, and it was loud. And then Friday night in the quarterfinals, they beat number 21, Auburn, 4-3. Packed again, and it was just amazing, the atmosphere out there. There were a lot of old tennis fans out there who I'd seen in the old days when Jerry Simmons was coaching at the old facility, which is now where Beach Volleyball is. And we were all just amazed at the atmosphere. In fact, I jokingly said, geez, what if we'd sold beer back then at the old tennis facility? But because it was wild enough in the non-alcoholic days of the crowd. But it was really fun. It was really great. And I think those guys really felt it. And they really rewarded the fans with a couple of nights of wonderful tennis. They lost to the number one seed, Kentucky, in the semifinals, but still, just a great performance, and that probably is going to get them and the women both in the NCAA tournament, and I believe those fields are announced this coming Sunday, I believe, or Monday. It may be next Monday, but those will be announced soon, and the men should have earned now a spot in the field for that tournament as well.
All right. Well, again, great to have that, a great event once again here on LSU's campus. You can't beat that. Let's talk a little hardball and softball. First for LSU softball on the road at Tennessee. Again, number four in the land were the Volunteers. LSU in the top 10. They take one game out of three, but they dropped the series. But it was of note that Beth Tarina becomes the winningest coach in LSU softball history. Getting the 1-0 shutout victory, I believe that came on Saturday.
Yes,
we were actually watching that in the booth when we got ready for the Missouri game. But congratulations to Coach Tarina. I've said it many times, one of my favorites here on campus. And it was interesting. I know on social media they kind of pulled a fast one on her. They told her they were going to shoot PSA, and they were able to get former players and current players and those associated with the program congratulating her. Well-deserved for Beth.
Yeah, it really was. And I know Yvette was so very happy with seeing her record passed by Beth. And now last week of the SEC season for them. And they've got Arkansas here this weekend for three games and a chance to hopefully solidify seeding for the upcoming SEC tournament. It's kind of weird how the SEC schedule falls where one team always has that last weekend off. LSU will host a non-conference series that week. But a big week at Tiger Park, weekend coming up, and a great chance to see your softball team play. It's a great weekend, baseball and softball, both in town this weekend.
Yeah, LSU still number six, top 10 team. Very important. Another top 20 matchup, Arkansas coming in number 15. Trying to get momentum, pick up some more SEC wins. 6 o'clock on Friday at Tiger Park, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and concluding on Sunday at 1 o'clock. LSU baseball last week, one of their more successful weeks of late. They won three out of their four games, including a series victory, first of the season in SEC play. Better late than never, I guess you should say, Kent. But they win 2 out of 3 against Missouri on the road, which I think is key if you're looking for something positive to build on with 16 games remaining, 13 in the SEC, and you're trying to rack up wins, trying to impress the selection committee to get you into a regional. The fact that you've got 2 out of 3 on the road with 3 of your final 4 weekend series and SEC play at home. It was almost, I hated to put it in a must win on Sunday in game three, but it almost, from a mathematical standpoint, was a must win. So congratulations to Jay and the Tigers. They get the 6-2 victory on Tuesday, or on Sunday rather, to pick up the series win.
Good job of staying with it and coming from behind there after Missouri kind of jumped out early in that game.
Yeah, Jay told me, he said, you know, actually that if you look at all four games last week, there was steady improvement offensively. Yeah. And he really went back to the UNO game, which was the midweek, where LSU, got down early, fought back, got it even, got a little lead, and then was able to pull away to a 6-3 victory against UNO. He said he liked the characteristics he saw from his team and really feels like that while they put the Missouri win, it's not going to help you moving forward. They're good at putting wins and losses behind him, he did feel like there were some characteristics of how they played that will be a good roadmap going forward, starting this weekend with Auburn coming in. So you've got Auburn this coming weekend, then the number one team currently in the land, Texas A&M, and that one's going to be a tough one, but you are playing at home, then on the road at Alabama, and then you finish up with Ole Miss. And right now, LSU, I think, memory serves, a game out of 12th place, which, again, only 12 of the 14 SEC teams go to the SEC baseball tournament in Hoover. The good news, again, is that you've got those three or four, Kent, at home. Plus, when you look at the top four in both the East and West, basically the top four teams right now are pretty much separated from the rest of the pack. But from 5 through 14, a game here or there, a series here or there, you can move from being near the bottom to the middle of the pack. That's what LSU has in front of them over the next 4 weeks. So, again, there'll be an action beginning this weekend at home against Auburn. Hope to see you at the box. What else we got?
Couple of things. Of course, the NFL draft is Thursday. Mm-hmm. I know Coach Kelly and some staff members are heading up to Detroit this year where the draft will be taking place. Of course, we'll all wait to see exactly where Jaden Daniels goes. We have a good feeling about it. Malik Davers, several other players, Brian Thomas Jr. It could be a very good draft again for the LSU players coming up, starting on Thursday with the first round, and then other rounds are Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, I think most consensus, again, depending on what mock draft you want to look at, has Jaden Daniels as the second pick in the overall draft. We'll wait and see. Again, that's part of the drama of draft night. Malik Neighbors maybe fluctuates a little bit, certainly in the top 10, but it could go as high as fourth to maybe seventh or eighth. But And again, Brian Thomas, as you mentioned, also expected to be there in the first round. But that's why everybody will be tuned in, see what happens in Detroit.
If you can't find it on television or social media, you're not trying.
Because
it's all like a...
It is everywhere.
It's like a political convention. There's so much coverage of it. A couple other things. Women's golf regional, or women's golf team, finds out their regional site on Wednesday, which will be their first step to the NCAA championships. And the men's golf team Wednesday begins play in the SEC championships in St. Simons Island in Georgia. And so wish them the best of luck there. We'll find out their postseason site next week. So a lot happening as usual. I don't know why we keep saying it, but it's always a lot happening here on the LSU campus.
Well, so many sports headed towards the postseason, a couple of sports a couple of weeks away. Speaking of, we talk about champions here at LSU, the latest LSU gymnastics, but no change, a stranger, I should say, to LSU as far as championships are concerned, is LSU track and field. Yep. And our guest this week, coming up in just a few moments, we'll have the legend himself, Dennis Shaver, head coach of track and field, going to join us right here on the show. That's coming up after this quick break. Yeah. Welcome back in another edition of Play by Play, presented by our friends at The Advocate. As we told you, well, we're talking about LSU track and field, and why not just go to the top guy, legendary coach here at LSU, national champion himself, Coach Dennis Shaver. Coach, it is great to have you on the program, first time here on Play by Play, and we're thrilled to have you stop by.
Well, I appreciate you having me come by.
It is an exciting time of the year, as we know. Of course, you guys are high-flying and moving quickly throughout the spring, but we're headed down the backstretch, and this is where LSU really typically rises to the top. I know you're excited about where we're headed.
Yeah, we really are. We're excited about where we are at this point in time. You know, it's always great. We're just coming off a weekend where we had to host a meet here at LSU, which is always awesome. The weather was great. And this upcoming weekend, we have another one here at home before we get into the postseason. And, of course, the postseason for us lasts about 6 weeks long. So it's a very important time of the year for us to keep them healthy and happy and move on each day.
Well, no surprise, as Kent and I were talking last week on the show, both men and women at the top, women ranked again number one, the men ranked number four. Tell us what that means when it comes to this time of the year. You know, because we hear coaches, we have them on the show all the time, and they'll say, hey, it's great recognition for the program, but as far as we're concerned internally, maybe it's not that big a deal. Is that the same for track and field?
Well, I think it is to a certain extent, you know, because they're based in those rankings based upon what's happened at this point in time of the season. And of course, we've always made that transition from indoor and outdoor and tried to get things wrapped up as quick as we could because we're coming off some people that are really fit and performing at a high level at an NCAA indoor championship. So I think we take it a little different approach maybe than what some schools, but certainly the recognition, number one, is well received. But at the end of the day, we want to end up there in about another 6 weeks. You know, that's where we want to be. And, you know, there's so many factors and variables that, you know, and unpredictable things that happen that, but the bottom line is we're really good, you know, and it's going to take some really good teams to make a run at us. And we're just glad we're in the hunt.
You've had one special week with the Alumni Gold Meet, which is always an amazing time. A lot of the track stars come back. A lot of them run. And you have the big banquet the night before. Mm-hmm. I know you honored one of your national championship teams among the teams you honored. But that's always a very special meet. And now you're coming up this weekend with some really good teams coming in and a great quality meet for fans to see right here in Baton Rouge.
We have some breaking news that you Tiger football fans are going to want to hear. SeatGeek is now the official ticket marketplace of LSU Athletics. Whether you're buying or selling football tickets, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek, so Tiger fans can fan.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the alumni, the banquet, and all of that is just super exciting, and we're so fortunate that we started that, you know, quite a few years ago, and it's really built. We had probably about 40 to 50 alumnus that were back for the banquet as well as, you know, at the track meet, and it was really a fun time to see a lot of the people that maybe we hadn't seen in a few years here at the meet. So it's always an exciting time. And then speaking specifically about the team, is very competitive meet. And of course, you always in our sport, you know, you have the weather factors, and we had really good weather, which really makes it fun, to be honest. But we had some great performances. I mean, and the thing about the Alumni Gold Meet is that, you know, our officials do such a great job of running track meets that we have a lot of Olympians from all over, people that are, you know, competing professionally that want to come compete because they know if something's supposed to start at 2:30, it's going to start at 2:30, you know, so it's a really high class meet. And so we had quite a few medalists from the previous Olympics and World Championships, as well as future ones that are on the teams that were competing collegiately. So it's just a lot of good fun and blend. You know, Aaliyah Hobbs ran the fastest time in the world in the 100 meters legal this early in the season. Makaya Briscoe's always doing her thing. So we have a lot of alums that I'm really proud of. Vernon Norwood, you know, who's been a guy that every single year is making world championship and Olympic teams for USA. So it's fun. And quite honestly, we have coming up here in another week the World Relays in the Bahamas. So, you know, we have kids that are on our team that actually from various different countries that have been invited to come and run for their country. And I want to just speak about that briefly, but, you know, the World Relays, the top 14 teams automatically qualify for the Olympic Games in that meet. So it's really important that you take that meet serious because there's only two other spots because they only take 16 relay teams to the Olympic Games. So that's one of the reasons that we're glad we have an open weekend and some of our current athletes are going to be able to experience that, number one, and hopefully get their slot to go to the Olympic Games in Paris this summer.
Well, speaking about things that happen at that meet, and it seems like every time I look at our website, there's another story of an award he won this past week, is this guy on the discus, Claudio Romero. I mean, he has a nation-leading toss in Gainesville and then comes back and, you know, wins the event here in Baton Rouge, Chilean national record. I mean, this guy is turning into something special for you.
Yeah, he's really, I'm really happy for him because, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, the weather has a lot to do with how far that platter flies, you know. And so we had pretty good weather, and Claudio has made significant progress for us over the last, you know, 6 weeks, and he's really been working hard and dedicating himself to helping our team. So But yeah, school record, you know, and there's been some really good discus throwers in historically speaking in our program and to achieve that. And I think the other really important factor for him is he met the Olympic standard, you know, and that's not an easy thing to do because you have to have those factors, the weather and everything kind of fit in to give you that opportunity. But I wasn't surprised. Claudio's been very focused in trying to help our team win a national championship.
You know, it should be pointed out, because fans may not be quite as aware, there are a lot of athletes this summer in Paris that will not only be representing the U.S. team from LSU or LSU alums, but there will be a lot of LSU athletes and alums for various other countries represented at the Olympics.
You know, typically we're somewhere between 16 and 20 athletes at the Olympic Games, of former athletes that still train here at LSU, some former athletes that are professional that are training in other places, as well as a pretty significant amount of kids off of our current men and women's teams are going to be in Paris. I mean, they've either already met the standard or they're going to be running on a relay for their various country at the Olympic Games. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that we're happy to be able to support the World Relays, because it plays such an important part of making your way to Paris. So we're excited about that. We're excited for our kids, because it's really, you know, and I think most people probably realize it but don't think about it. You know, getting into the Olympic Games is not easy.
No.
At all. And especially nowadays, where there are so many restrictions on the number of people per event that they take into the Olympic Games. So we're excited for our former athletes, really excited also for the current athletes, and having that once in a, for many people, once in a lifetime opportunity to compete in Olympic Games in our sport of track and field.
Chris, one before I go back to you, just a thought popped into my head because you talk about alums and all. Mondo Duplantis.
Yeah,
he's good.
You know, and let me just say this. You know, we were blessed to have Mondo for a season, because he could have gone professional right out of high school. He was that good, all right? So we were blessed with him, and I appreciate his family and him making that commitment to us for a year. But the reality of it is that once he finished his eligibility here and went pro, he's the same guy. He's the guy that's at the track every day. He's the guy that's doing his workouts like he's supposed to be done. And he's just Mr. Steady. And at the end of the day, you watch him, and even when he sets these world records, the clearances that he's setting the world record, and there's still more to come. And that's an event that's really hard on your body. You really have to take good care of yourself if you're going to be able to compete week in and week out and be at a high level of performance. So we're so proud of him and the support he gives our program, for sure. We're really happy to see him stay
healthy. My God, I think he cleared that thing by 6 inches.
It kind of looked that way. It sure did. It looked that way.
Set the world record, and all I got to say is that family has good jumping genes.
They do. Well, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, no one's really saying it, but he is the best pole vaulter ever.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever in the world. Yeah. And we're talking about a lot of great pole vaulters, but he's the greatest of them all.
Coach, I was sitting with the baseball team in Missouri, saw the news come across. I'm like, okay, he set a new record. And you mentioned it just a second ago. You said, hey, that's going to continue to climb. My question to you is, and this is the thought that popped in my head in the hotel room, is how much higher can he go? He keeps breaking these records.
I tell you, there's, I'd hate to try to put a limit on that, because he just is so talented. You know, people don't realize that, you know, to be able to do that, you have to be a sprinter also. Yeah. And, you know, when he was in high school and the year he was with us, you know, he's a really good sprinter. And of course, his dad, great pole vaulter here at LSU, great professional pole vaulter for so many years. So he's got really good genes, really good coaches. His mom and Greg, his dad, you know, are the ones that are doing all the coaching. So, he's just blessed to be in the situation that he's in. And we're just so happy that we have someone one that has been so important to our program. Because if you remember right, the last SEC championship that our men won, Mondo Duplantis won the pole vault, and that was the crowning blow that got us at, and of all places, the University of Arkansas, is where we won that championship. Yep. So, you know, Mondo's a special person, and we're so happy to see him have that kind of success.
Again, Dennis Shaver, our guest this week on Play by Play, head of LSU track and field since 2004, I believe 32 national championships. You mentioned the 2021 men's outdoor. It's been, just quickly, because I want to talk about this coming weekend as well as your thoughts going into the postseason. And one of the things that Kent mentioned, every time you pull up LSU track and field, every single year, there are one, two, or even more that are up for national awards. We'll talk about some of those coming into this season. But again, Coach, it's amazing. Talked to Jay Johnson last night. I said, Jay, another national championship for LSU, obviously Jay Clark and LSU Gymnastics. I said, you look at 2019, 2021 for track and field. And Jay's comment was, you know, when we go to these head coaches meetings, I'm looking around the room. He's still relatively one of the newer. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm surrounded by just greatness, great coaches, great recruiters, championship coaches. And again, you're part of that. It's got to be great to have those type of people around, that everybody has that championship mentality that they apply to their programs.
Well, I think, you know, we have great leadership from the top down in our department. And I think at the end of the day, there's a lot of trust that we know what we're doing. They let us do our thing. And I think at the end of the day, you know, it takes an army to have this kind of success, you know, and the head coaches oftentimes get the credit, but you know, the people down in the trenches are the ones that really deserve most of the credit, because in our sport, you can't be 95% and compete. You have to be at 100%. Well, that means that from the sports psychologists to the trainers to everybody doing, you know, being, I guess, just throwing themselves into it to make it all work. So there's so many moving parts, you know, and so many different events in our sport that you have to recognize the different needs and so forth. So it's really, it takes an army, and I realize that, you know, we get a lot of the credit, but at the end of the day, I think our assistant coaches do a great job. Earl, our strength coach, does a great job. Trainers do a great job. Our GAs do a great job. I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, that's what it takes. And I think it's, you know, there's this kind of winning culture too, that, you know, has existed for so many years here, you know, prior to me even becoming the head coach. And I think that's important to recognize too, that I always tell the team, you know, that our previous athletes set the standard for LSU track and field. And if you're not willing to live up to that kind of standard, you shouldn't have the LSU across your chest. So there's a lot of things that you got to understand about being a part of a program like this, just how important it is to us that you are that really great student athlete that represents LSU.
You know, you mentioned the 21 tie. I was looking back at some stuff last night when I was preparing for this, just to make sure my mind was right. And I thought it was. But that was almost a perfect championship for your men. I mean, there were lots of wins, the 4x100. Harrison, you know, wins the long jump and the high jump. You get a win, the javelin, the 400 hurdles. I mean, you had performances top to bottom in that championship, and you won by like 30-some-odd points.
Yeah. We tried to do it again.
Yeah, I know.
But I would tell you this, that that was the year where I felt like, you know, we had every area covered, and at the end of the day, there was great leadership within that men's team. They all wanted to win it for one another, which I think is something that's really important to understand, that, you know, it wasn't about the coaches. It wasn't about anybody else. It was about them trying to do what they could to secure that title. And for me personally, the great thing was is that we did it early in the meet. You know, we didn't have to wait for the 4x4. We didn't have to wait for something at the very end. The guys just got it done. And it was just so exciting because, you know, you go in and you feel like, oh, you know, Sean can win the 400 hurdles, you know, but he didn't have a great year. But then when it came time, championship time, you know, he was there for us. And so you had all of those things come together. On the very last throw, we win the javelin, you know, which you weren't really predicted to win the javelin. But Zuriel Pettigo on his last throw, last opportunity, he nailed it, you know. And I think there's a lot to be said about guys that come together and really want to do it for one another. They find deep and dig down and find something that maybe they didn't even know they had. And so that was the fun part of it.
Coach, from a psychology standpoint, and you mentioned it, that's a big part for all teams and all student athletes. You know, you hear coaches talk about team. I've heard it put in many different ways, little me, big team. Again, when you have a sport where there is that individual event that you just discussed, is it a challenge to have the team mentality? Is that something you and the staff work on every day, even though these guys and gals will compete in individual competition?
Yeah, I think, you know, the team's always important. And, you know, team over self, you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of the what we try to preach. But, you know, I think that having great individuals is what makes a great track team, okay? So we don't want to overlook that individual performance and how critical it is for that person to reach that pinnacle of maybe winning the NCAA championship as an individual. But at the same time they do that, you know, and I'll give you an example. You know, I can remember when Mondo was pole vaulting at the NCAA meet, back then, I think Shakiri was on the team, and she's getting ready to run a race, and I hear her screaming across the track in Eugene, Oregon for Mondo. You know, I mean, it's, you know, there's something to be said about that, you know, where they're so supportive of one another, you know. And I think the biggest thing is people have to understand that we want to be at our best when it counts the most. And that's the true challenge in our sport of having everybody together and on the same page as you get into that championship time. So, but yeah, I think at the end of the day, the years of success as team has created that kind of expectation amongst not only our coaches, but everybody that's involved in the program, including the athletes.
Well, I know from last year at the SECs here, it was so cool to watch when your athletes on the track or in the field had success, to watch the other athletes who were in the stands or maybe warming up for another event be just as excited for their success, for the other athletes' success, as if it was their own. And I think that's very cool to see in a sport like yours.
No, it really is. And you know, that's where I think they recognize how important team is and how important it is that they do everything they can do to contribute in some form or fashion. You know, I tell you, one of the coolest things is, you know, when you have throughout the year fall training and you have an athlete that's probably never going to score at the NCAA championship, okay, maybe not even score at SECs. But on those days when everybody's a little down, that's your leader that day. You know, they play a very important role within our team to try to create that kind of an environment where the difference days are the days you don't feel like doing it, you know, and lifting people up. So it's really exciting to see, you know, the kind of leadership you get from people that oftentimes aren't going to contribute in points when it comes down the line. And I think in a lot of ways, they're the ones that also create that team atmosphere for us.
Coach, we talked about Claudio earlier. Kent brought him up. And you said just moments ago, hey, it's a team sport, but we don't want to minimize the individual accomplishments. Certainly before we get you out of here, we want to talk about, I mentioned the Bowerman Award. It seems like every year LSU has a number that are up for that. Michaela and Brianna, I know, are two of them on your team this year. Wanted to talk about their individual seasons so far.
Oh, I mean, let's talk about Michaela first. I mean, she's just really unbelievable. I mean, she has such self-discipline. She takes really good care of herself. And at the end of the day, I think Coach Franks is one of the best middle distance coaches there is in the country at any level, whether it's professional or wherever it is. But Michaela is just you know, I love to tell the story. You know, I coached her mom and dad at Auburn University, so that was kind of, you know, an interesting recruiting process, let's put it that way, you know. But Michaela's, you know, she's very talented and a very unselfish person. She helps us in a lot of different ways other than just the things that she does running. Then switch gears to Brianna Liston. You know, she's the baby of the group. You know, she has had great success in high school from Jamaica. I thought probably she would go pro right out of high school. But then I got word, no, she's not. So, you know, that's when I jumped in there and tried to see if we could secure her to come. And it's been a really good experience for her and a growing experience for her. She's kind of grown into that role. You know, obviously she's run really fast in the 100. She's only run the 200 once outdoors. I look for her to really improve in that event too. And she's a big contributor on our sprint relay also, and probably could run on the 4x4 if we needed her, you know, at the end of the day. So she's got that kind of versatility. I think that her going to college was probably, and I think she realizes it, probably a really smart thing for her to do, to develop. And you know, if you're a sprinter and you want to develop, I don't think there's a better place in the country than LSU to do that. And we're fortunate that we were able to get her here, and it's exciting to see her running at the level of which she's running right now, especially during Olympic year. You know, Jamaica's got some really good sprinters, but I think she's going to be one of those. You know, she's very young. So I always tell the people in Jamaica, you know, you got to show a little patience, you know, because, you know, she's so young, and she's up against people that are 10 years older than her that are great professional sprinters.
Again, Coach Dennis Shaver, our guest, is LSU Track and Field. We'll tell you about coming up. They've got an event at home before, as Coach said, they start postseason play with the SECs. Real quick, Coach, you mentioned the international flavor to LSU Track and Field. It's amazing to me, even with the technology today, that recruiting seems to me would be very complex. It's always, when you talk to any coach, it's always like the lifeblood of the program. It's one of the most important tenets of a successful program. How do you guys handle that when you're talking about athletes that can come to LSU from anywhere here on planet Earth?
Well, it's kind of exciting, you know, and of course, when you've been in the business, as long as we've been in the business, and you've been to all the Olympic Games, all the World Championships, you know, you network a lot, you know, with a lot of coaches from different countries, and that's all of our coaches on our staff, you know. So I think at the end of the day, you make all those kind of contacts, and you have people. And in our sport, you know, you can pretty much get on the internet nowadays, and you can do some kind of self-evaluation of somebody's talent and so forth. And then you combine that with talking to coaches about, you know, what kind of personality and what kind of competitive person they are. You kind of match that all together, and it's kind of exciting. Cultural diversity within the group as a whole, you know, having people from different parts of the world, I think is a great experience for our American kids, as well as the experience that the internationals have by being at LSU. I cannot remember any international student that we've had in track and field that hasn't graduated from LSU. And I think that's another important part of what that's we're huge. About too, yeah. is they come here not only because they want to, you know, continue to train and aspire to be Olympians or world champions. The bottom line is they also want to get their education, and most of them do a very disciplined and great job. And so, you know, that's, I think it influences some of our American kids, quite honestly.
Coach, I think LSU fans in general, alums, would be excited to know. I get the sense, because of the work you and your staff do, that when you go to these international events or you go to the Olympics and you network, what would you say to LSU's alums and fans that LSU, when it comes to track and field, overseas has to be a brand that is easily and quickly recognizable?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, you know, and especially when they've been in the business as long as what we've had, and we always had, you know, 10 to 15 to maybe even up to 20 people competing in those kind of competitions, and your staff's there, we're all working hard. It's, you know, where else in the world can you go and be around people from 50, 60 different countries, you know, that are there, and most of them are high-level performance coaches in their home country, so they're working with some of the best athletes that are in their country. And, of course, they recognize they don't have the facilities in a lot of cases to accommodate and give them those kind of opportunities where they know a school like LSU does.
You know, watching Mondo's world record, you know, when they name-dropped LSU and all that, and I always used to remember when Tom Hammond, who I've known for years, obviously, when he did basketball, but did the track and field for the Olympics. you knew an SEC athlete because he would always find a way to name drop the school. And Lee Diffie does that some still too. But I get to look out on my from my glorious office on the fifth floor at the Bernie Moore Track Stadium, which is one of the highlights of looking out that window. And there are a lot of people these days out there working out. Obviously, your team and others are out there. But, I mean, is there a certain pace to this season so that you want them to peak at the NCAA? Is there a point where you got to say, don't overdo it and, you know, let's move you up in the right, I don't know what the word is, spacing, so you're ready to go for the postseason?
No question. I think, you know, every week is a new week. You evaluate what you're going to do. I'll evaluate what we're going to do next week based upon what happens in training and competition this week. Is to, you know, you get to that point now where things get a lot more individualized, different people you feel and they feel. You know, the real key to being successful in our sport is just communication. At the end of the day, we're not mind readers, and what the athletes think, I think, is really important for us as experienced coaches to understand and try to accommodate, you know, what their thinking is, along with good scientific training, you know, at the end of the day. There is that thing of overdoing it, you know, and I'd rather do less than overdo it and keep them healthy and keep them running. You know, at the end of the day, people just get pumped up for championship time. You know, the beast in everybody starts coming out. The regular season, yeah, it's cool and all that, but it ain't the same when you get into championship time. And I think when you're in the SEC and you go to the SEC championships, which is, in my opinion, the best track meet there is in the world, period, when it comes to team championship, it's really exciting, especially on that last day when everybody's battling for those points and things are tight, and you know it's going to be tight to the end.
Well, again, one of the crown jewels of LSU athletics, Coach Dennis Shaver, our guest this week. Been thrilled to have you, Coach. Just a reminder, LSU Invitational coming up on the 27th. Gets started at 10 a.m. As Coach says, then they'll transition to the postseason SEC championships in my favorite city, Gainesville. They'll be able to muster through, I'm sure, and be successful. And then, of course, the NCAAs will get underway in late May.
And Saturday is also Senior Day.
Yeah, it's Senior Day.
And I know you're going to have a recognition ceremony during the running events, which start at 1:30.
That's correct.
And you got some big-time seniors this year.
Yeah, we have some big-time seniors, and then we have, you know, a couple people that finished their eligibility or had just maybe an indoor this year that they turned professional, like Favor Ofili. We're going to have an opportunity to give her that jersey, framed jersey and so forth. It's really an exciting time for the athletes and certainly for us, too, to honor them and everything that they have done to keep this program at the level at which it is.
That would be 7 NCAA individual titles. Yep. Chris, 34 first-team All-American honors, 10 SEC titles, on and on and on. But, yeah, this is a good group. If you can, Saturday, this is a great track meet to come watch. 10 o'clock for field events, 1:30 for the running events, and this is a good one to come watch. A lot of good teams coming in. Should be a lot of fun.
Coach, I don't mean to interrupt you, but for those who say, you know what, I'd love to see these high-level athletes, didn't know I could do that. It's 10 a.m. What do they got to do?
It's free. Just come. You know, and I think the reality of it is the running event starting around 1 o'clock, and it's going to be over at 5. You know, we like that 3-4 hour window of high-quality performances and so forth. So it's going to be exciting. We got Florida coming. We've got, you know, Georgia. We got a bunch of really good SEC teams coming, as well as some other teams also. It'd be fun.
Kent, of all the Tigers that we get to hang around, I was lucky when I got here in 2016, actually late 2015, I was fortunate that one of the coolest cats among the Tigers, Coach Shaver, was down the hall from me. And, of course, he's moved on to better facilities, I miss seeing him. So it's the first time I've seen you in a while, Coach, and really thrilled that you had time to come on the show. Congratulations on the season thus far. We'll be watching you headed towards the postseason. Here's to another great postseason for you and the Tigers.
Well, we appreciate y'all. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, that's going to wrap up this week's show. I want to thank Dennis Shaver for stopping by, Harrison Valentine, who puts it all together, and the illustrious Kent Lowe. Until next time, this is Chris Blair. saying, go Tigers.